Hey fam,
this is Nkechi, and I'm here to welcome you to another episode of GMD Gents. If you want to take part in the live discussion, feel free to find us on Twitter. We're on there Monday to Thursday, and that's where we live broadcast from, right onto the radio and also eventually here. So if you're enjoying the series, make sure that you like, follow, or subscribe, depending on the platform that you're on. Anyway, episode's about to start. Enjoy.
Then he responded saying, oh, yeah, definitely we could let them on as well. The same thing with Don Lemon. Once people saw the uprising, or not even an uprising, but how polarizing it was for Tucker Carlson to do that on Twitter, then the next day Elon's like, oh, yeah, Don Lemon, like, it's kind of like the bigotry is like you can only hide it but so much, but at the same time it just seeps through your pores, and without even knowing, you're doing it. And I think that kind of goes to Jay's point. Like, everything he has been doing as far as being involved with his platform politically has all really been, like, geared towards the right, which sucks because, I mean, like I always say, is I don't care about the left wing or the right wing. If the whole plane is going down, then what does it matter? But at the same time, like, you gotta play fair, bro. Like, you gave Ron DeSantis a chance to say some BS. Let the guy on the left say some BS too. We gotta pick the best of the BS, like we do every election. And I mean, I don't think this is gonna be any different. So that just kind of shows, like, well, you see which way I'm putting my money on, or something like that. And like to Elsa's point that she said in the pre-show. I mean, what's any different than the previous Twitter under Jack Dorsey when it was time for election? The only difference is it's not a whole bunch of memes. Like, now you're doing it with spaces instead. Like, but other than that, being able to kind of manipulate, or, you know, kind of use the system to your advantage or to your narrative, I just don't think that's cool.
Well, Nick, check this out. What's the subliminal? The conservatives are showing up on Twitter. You know, we're opening the door to the left, but no one's walked through yet. So it's all, you know, it's kind of the way the mind works is people are kind of wondering, well, why aren't there any left voices? So I think it's orchestrated in a way. And I think he is trying to bait maybe some people over. But it's like you said, we haven't seen him just call on Don Lemon to come share his point of view. So right now it's very one-sided, and I agree with everything you've said, Nick.
Well, let me throw this in there if that's cool. You know, there was a that whole, you know, this is where the discussion is happening on Twitter. This is where the discussion is happening on Twitter. There was a comment that you guys, I think it was Fabe that said it, but he brought up how, please correct me if I'm wrong about who said this. Hey, if you're in the chat, please, I want to hear, like, you guys' thoughts. I'm actually hopping over to the chat now. If you have any thoughts on this conversation about DeSantis, you know, announcing his run on Twitter, you know, made the comment about how, you know, Twitter's already been used to kind of, you know, cause issues in the past for presidential runs. Do you think that that was like a blind thing? Do you think that that was on purpose? Was that a signal? How do you feel about the fact that Elon wanted to host it? Should a platform owner at that level, especially given who Elon is, which none of us can deny, should he even be putting his mouth in this, like even in a host position? How do you guys feel about that? And even to the points that were just made, you know, certain things that were said before are not now being spoken on. We're seeing one side kind of get all this platform, but is it because that side was so suppressed? Twitter was incredibly blue before. You know what I'm saying? Let's also be aware of that. Twitter was incredibly blue, and that also didn't serve a purpose. So is this more of like a, hey, let's just let the, you know, I'm just opening up the other, you know, the other side of the dam so that the water can even out? Or is this more of like a, we're just leaving the door open. Why aren't they coming then? If he put out a call to Don Lemon, how come we haven't heard other bigger conservative names come and announce that? Or are they also on the fence? They're not sure about the future of Twitter, because Twitter itself has also not necessarily been that consistent in the last, you know, year or so. But then again, that's what happens when, you know, megastar takes over a mega platform and then everything is just supersized, you know? I just wanted to pose that real quick. But the reason I said all of that is because that conversation about Twitter kind of becoming its own platform, I think it was Fabe that said that YouTube, that DeSantis had brought up YouTube and Facebook. Was that you, Fabe? I think it was you, right? That he had brought up Facebook and kind of thrown shade over there, saying like, well, you guys are always talking about election fraud on Twitter. What about you know, Facebook and YouTube? And it's kind of interesting because that's actually truth. Like, it never occurred to me, you know, to also pay attention to those. I mean, I always pay attention to Facebook, and we already know that Facebook played an active part in in the election, even though Twitter was kind of highlighted a little bit brighter, you know, and Zuckerberg was brought forward for that. If you guys remember, he was actually brought in front of, I think it was the Congressional Party or whatever they call that room. But the people at Twitter were never brought forward for that. We didn't see Jack Dorsey brought forward for that. He just went off into the sunset and then came back with a weird app called Blue Sky that only incels are on. Like, I don't know. The app is kind of weird right now. I don't know. Maybe more people will come and it won't be as weird. But do you think that this is actually like kind of gearing us up to like this big social media battle? I feel like that's what's happening. Everything Twitter does, Facebook replicates. Now Facebook wants to create a Twitter-like app that's the same. Do we need another Twitter? I don't know. Go listen to the last broadcast that we did on Monday on the May 22nd. We talked about that on that episode. But do you guys think that this is kind of gearing up to be like a big face-off between the all these social media platforms? TikTok is always in the news. We got something coming up on them too. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think it is kind of gearing up to be that, but I don't think like it hasn't ever been that. Like it's always been like a mega war. It's just kind of like phasing into newer territory. But I think what's going to happen is we're just going to continue to see more and more like a decentralization in a way. Of maybe just news or how things are broken. I mean, just even with sports, you know, we used to wait for ESPN or journalists to break news. Now players are just going on Twitter or agents and breaking news themselves about a new team or what have you. And I think we're just going to continue to see that evolve. I think I wouldn't be surprised if YouTube is the next place where Biden or someone goes to speak on their issues, just like the Spaces did, or even if like Facebook gets their fake Twitter or their Twitter Lite going, and they have the Spaces or something. So I think we're just gonna see these social media entities just become more and more political and more willing to host. And to be honest, like think about like a couple years ago, maybe it was like 3 years ago, Twitter had Thursday night football. And I think people kind of forget that. They were broadcasting Thursday night football.
I didn't even remember that.
Yeah. And which is now on Amazon. So this kind of isn't super new for Twitter to say, hey, let's do something that, you know, is untraditional or new. And I think they're going to keep doing it. And I think you're going to see YouTube also kind of really jump on that, not bandwagon, but they're going to take that to the next level as well.
Anyone else has some thoughts on it? I agree with that. Like, and you know, to your point about YouTube, I think YouTube has been around this whole time. Like they've been hosting those things. I think it's new to Twitter to be able to host those level of interviews, but we've been seeing those kind of announcements on YouTube. YouTube has become like the go-to place. That was part of the reason that we made the decision to move over here, was because the people that we're in the echelon of, the people that are doing like radio broadcasts like us, like they're not streaming to Twitter. They're streaming to YouTube because YouTube has become a normal staple. Like people even expect to be able to have like some other kind of component other than just audio. Audio was what was added on to the visual part, not the other way around. Although I do believe that we're going to come back full circle. But while we're on this conversation of you know, social media platforms, you know, I want to roundtable a little bit. Does anybody else have any thoughts on this? And if not, then since we're already talking about socials, I wanted to hop over and talk about TikTok right after we actually, as a matter of fact, I want to touch on some of these comments. Give me just a second, guys. I want to touch on some of these comments. LA,
hey, yeah, you know what?
I'm go for sorry it. Go for it. No, go for it.
There was a
go
comment that I wanted to highlight. And
yeah, yeah. Which one?
Something so funny about Sam Stone saying, I haven't seen Rudy Giuliani in the room. I don't know why that was so funny when I first read that.
Oh, let me see if I can find it. I'll throw it up on the stage. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, you highlighted it already.
There is something funny about it. Like, I'm just wondering, is his hair still melting till today? I wonder if his hair ever stopped melting. You know, I don't know how. One day there's got to be a documentary, Faye.
But you know what? This is so cool because just like forget all the political talk or whose side you're on or which app you like. It's really cool to kind of just be able to be in a space with many people. I remember Elon was having another room some time ago, and I'm in there, and then I see Juicy J, and I'm like, I'm in the room with Juicy J. Like, so it's real cool who you could kind of like figuratively bump into when you're in these spaces.
You know what? I think that was what, you know, back in the OG days, like Clubhouse, right? That's really what made Clubhouse pop. You know, I still remember when Elon came onto Clubhouse and it was like, are we really in a space with Elon Musk? This is a person that we had only ever seen on TV. We'd only ever seen reality things. We didn't, you weren't used to, like, you can follow them, but you don't get to interact with them. That was not the wave at the time. But I think the audio wave really opened up a new space. I remember OG days of MySpace when you could talk to celebrities and they would talk back to you. Like, and that was a normal thing. Somebody you were, and over time, when the platform grew, there started to become this separation of like the stars and the village people. You know what I'm saying? Like, we were just meant to worship. We weren't meant to actually, you know, have conversation or expect to be replied. It didn't mean that they didn't see your message. It just meant that it should be implied that they shouldn't reply you. But now bring in the audio app and you're watching people who, you know, they may not have the best social skills, but yeah, they know how to give a good presentation. They know how to host a space. Yeah, they know how to create drama. They know how to, you know what I'm saying? So the people that actually had the voice to rise started rising at that time. So you couldn't separate the two. They were now like, there's like this demigod, like little platform in between those big guys like Elon and then the regular schmegular people, you know? Now there's this middle tier where you have the people that are able to, you know, use their voice to be able to kind of command that attention or the connections.
Hey, Radio Fam. This is Nkechi Kwenu, and I'm just hopping in for a quick commercial break. I really hope you're enjoying what you're hearing so far. To take part in one of our live recordings, you can find me on Twitter. We host Monday to Thursday at 9 a.m. EST. Just search for NKECHIKWENU. Again, that's NKECHIKWENU. As well, don't forget that we come fully stacked with resources. If you want to check out any of these news articles that we talk about, any of these topics, visit thedailydegen.io and search for it. We've got all the information just piling into there daily with over 4 million words stacked so far. And while you're there, make sure you become a member. It's totally free. But wait, there's more. Some of you guys are just discovering us for the first time, but we've actually been hosting these shows for over a year. To get access to our old OG recordings that have evergreen knowledge in them, make sure to visit ofeden.io. That's ofeden.io. If you're already one of our holders, you can use a hoodlum to access it. And if you're not, you can find out information there on how to get it. You can also access previous episodes of Good Morning Degens within that vault as well. If you have no idea what a hoodlum is, well, friend, welcome to Web3. Visit cryptohoodlums.io to find out more. And last, but absolutely positively not least, if you want to hang out with us like in between episodes, make sure you join our Discord. You can actually find that by typing in cryptoworlddiscord.com. That's cryptoworlddiscord.com. Hop in and join us sometime. We've got thousands of members back there already, but there's always room for more. Hope to see you over there.
Yes, because all the red people kept getting banned. Now exactly. It's the Wild West. You see what I'm saying? Now
exactly.
It's the Wild West. So it's like, oh yeah, Twitter's looking real equal or real reddish or right wing. Of course, you're talking about the day the N-word was okay to say, it had a 500% increase of people saying the N-word. Like, stop playing, bro. Like, we know what's going on. This isn't one man who's leading the band. Like, yeah, Elon's a jerk at times, but it's the people that he allow on the platform as well. And that's the reason the whole race to arms for who's going to be the best news outlet, this, that, and the third, is going to be YouTube, bro. Like, nobody's going to platform where you're saying the left can come, but you immediately comment some BS right up under there and just to like start like a little circus fire or whatever. And that's just, that's the part that's not cool. So that's why YouTube will forever prevail. And then right behind that, you got your Amazon, because the people that head these operations are in, you know, doing things and just running into the mud. And let's be for real, like, Elon's being very petty and facetious with Twitter. He doesn't care about the people. You've never saw him dragging Tesla's name through the mud. He doesn't have one bad thing to say when it comes to SpaceX. Like, he knows what to do when it comes to the money. But Twitter, oh yeah, he's going to trash it, troll it, be petty. He's going to do all those things, because at the end of the day, if it vanishes and it's gone, like, he goes on, life goes on. But here we are scrambling for quote unquote credible news source. And that's the reason we shouldn't be putting our eggs in a basket when it comes to these social media platforms. Yes, NK and Fabe, it does allow us access to the horse's mouth, for lack of better words. But at the end of the day, we'll still just need that same sense of discernment that we had when we were watching the news. The news was ran by certain people, and social media platforms aren't any different. They're ran by certain people as well.
Man, actually, you know what? Let me take that as a point of segue. Because, man, I'm loving the passion, man. Oh my gosh. Okay. Let's talk about these, because it's really just becoming, it's becoming a lot. Do you guys feel like the sensory is the highest it's been in a while? The last time the sensory was this high, it was 2020. The last time before that, it was when Trump was first announced his bid for candidacy. Like, the sensory is just getting too much. And the fact that it's on these platforms, I feel like a lot of our emotions are being weaponized against us. You know, I find myself in a place where it's like, I agree with the policy, but I disagree with the human being that's in place to put those policies in place. It doesn't really, and it just really, really goes to say, this is the confusion that I think a lot of these people, they thrive on that thing. So just real quick, I want to take a moment for us to segue while we're talking about the power that's being given to these platforms. Let's talk about TikTok. Now, TikTok is something we've been tiptoeing on for quite some time. We have never been quiet about the fact that TikTok has some problematic aspects, but I'm getting to the point now where even though it's problematic, it's still like, how do I say it? Like, it's problematic because it's in another country. It's problematic because apps mine data. We know this. This is not like magical talk. We're not speculating. This is a normal thing that apps do. Facebook mines your data. Instagram mines your data. Twitter mines your data if it's on your phone. TikTok also mines your data. The only difference is TikTok is owned by a company that is based in China. Hence, another country is mining your data. That's the problem with TikTok, right? But now if we actually look at what's on TikTok, it's the information that's on there that keeps people gripped. It's such a concentrated amount of information. With a much smaller amount of just distraction. A lot of distraction is on a lot of these other apps, and that's something that a lot of people are not realizing. The drama on Twitter, it attracts people, but to what end? Because that's what I feel like Elon is trying to do. He's trying to attract people to his Twitter. He wants to give the left a platform because he knows they're going to say crazy stuff and get people riled up. But the thing that they're not understanding is that Twitter was already blue. The blue is already there. He don't have to. This is my final take on it. He doesn't have to invite the left wing over there because the left is already there. But the problem is that they have been on a platform that has, just like Nick said before, the red has always also been there, but they were getting banned. They were getting suppressed. This is what it looks like when you've been suppressing one side for so long. The cuckoos are always going to come out first. That's how it works. That's why the left is quiet on Twitter, because they're waiting for the cuckoos to finish. Eventually, the people with sense will now start speaking. There is one comment that was in the chat that I just wanted to highlight real quick. It was made by LA Made and Found on the YouTube live chat. Listen, if you're listening to us on the radio, we really, really appreciate you. We hope you're enjoying the content. We hope you're enjoying the broadcast. If you're listening to us on the YouTube live stream, please get in the chat. We want to hear what you guys' thoughts are. Leave some comments. I'll put them up on screen. Even just say good morning, whatever. LA Made and Found on the YouTube live stream, she says, Tucker is bad for business. Fox lost advertisers because of him. Twitter is trying to attract advertisers, so giving him a platform would be bad for business as well. You know, the thing about those bigger brands, right? The thing about those bigger brands, like CNN, like Fox, the thing about those kind of like news outlets is that anybody that's doing something crazy on there can affect the entire channel, as in advertisers can pull out of that particular episode, or they can pull out of the whole channel. They can say they don't even want to be on that channel, period, because that particular person is so polarizing that it doesn't even matter if everybody else is on point. That person is a problem. That is what Tucker Carlson became on Fox. So I just, so we're all on the same page, I think that that's why I asked that question. Do you think that the shout out to Lemon was a plant? Because Tucker Carlson was so problematic that I don't think he's the sort of person that Elon wants to publicly claim, like, yeah, 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 this is our boy, blah, blah, blah. However, he will let him come on the app and scream and hoop and holler. Why? Because it brings more eyes. It brings more eyes. But I think that eventually it can backfire. I don't think any app is truly going to be left or right unless it's like Truth Social or something like that. But as far as Twitter is concerned, I think the worst is yet to come. And I'm not talking about platform integrity. I just mean integrity in general, like how people talk to each other, how people behave. I found crypto Twitter to be more hostile in the last couple weeks. In the last couple months than it has been in a while. I think that I think it's a reflection. It's a reflection of what's going on in our society right now. People are treating each other with more disregard than ever. You know, I find myself being more cognizant of how I talk to people. Sometimes I let them know what they need to know. Sometimes I reply and then I think to myself, you know what, it's not worth it. And I back out because Twitter is just a place where it just kind of takes up that energy. But just real quick, I do want us to segue over to TikTok. We covered that story about a week and a half or so ago about how TikTok was being removed from Montana. Montana was banning TikTok within their walls. They are sick of TikTok. They're sick of it, you know? So they're banning them. Fast forward, this week, it gets released that apparently TikTok is suing them in return. TikTok is suing Montana over its new law that bans the app. I thought that was very unique because it also went into what exactly that law was about. You know, originally we had asked this question when we first covered this story. We had asked the question, how is TikTok going to go ahead and like, how are they going to stop? How is Montana going to stop TikTok from being like available in the app store there? I didn't realize they had that kind of ability. If you guys recall that episode, I didn't realize they had that kind of ability. Are they going to geofence it? I thought they were going to do something techie. No, apparently Montana just plans to sue TikTok if they continue to allow people to download them from the app. That's essentially what it is. Like they're like, we're not going to stop you from being here, but we're going to fine you every single time somebody, you know, is able to access your, that doesn't make any sense to me. Let me just read this off real quick and let's get into discussion. TikTok has filed a federal lawsuit against Montana after the state passed a law last week intended to ban the app from being downloaded within its borders. The widely expected lawsuit argues that banning a hugely popular social media app amounts to an illegal oppression of free speech tantamount to censorship. The Montana law unlawfully abridges one of the core freedoms.
Hey, my loves. This isn't catchy. And I really hope you enjoyed this episode segment. Our episodes usually run about 2 hours, so if this was part one, make sure to check out part two. And if this was part two, then I'm pretty sure you know what to do. Now here's the thing. I'm sure you noticed that even though the commercials cut in, the conversation still continued and you had to catch up after the commercials. So for that reason, unless you were listening on ofeden.io, or you're tuning into one of our live segments, or you happen to catch us live on the radio, you more than likely may not get the full 2 hours. So to be able to access all of our content in its entirety uninterrupted, check out ofeden.io and also listen to the following information so you know where else to go. To take part in one of our live recordings, you can find me on Twitter. We host Monday to Thursday at 9 a.m. EST. Just search for NKECHIKWENU. Again, that's NKECHIKWENU. As well, don't forget that we come fully stacked with resources. If you want to check out any of these news articles that we talk about, any of these topics, visit thedailydegen.io and search for it. We've got all the information just piling into there daily with over 4 million words stacked so far. And while you're there, make sure you become a member. It's totally free. But wait, there's more. Some of you guys are just discovering us for the first time, but we've actually been hosting these shows for over a year. To get access to our old OG recordings that have evergreen knowledge in them, make sure to visit ofeden.io. That's ofeden.io. If you're already one of our holders, you can use a hoodlum to access it. And if you're not, you can find out information there on how to get it. You can also access previous episodes of Good Morning Degens within that vault as well. If you have no idea what a hoodlum is, well, friend, welcome to Web3. Visit cryptohoodlums.io to find out more. And last, but absolutely positively not least, if you want to hang out with us like in between episodes, make sure you join our Discord. You can actually find that by typing in cryptoworlddiscord.com. That's cryptoworlddiscord.com. Hop in and join us sometime. We've got thousands of members back there already, but there's always room for more. Hope to see you over there. And thanks for tuning in.